Good morning, my friend. I hope you're doing well. Dr. Lee Warren here with you on Self Brain Surgery Saturday. And I just have a quick little self brain surgery operation for you today. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling buried, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling overwhelmed with grief, whatever it is that might be going on in your world, if you just feel like it's too much, like why does everything feel so hard? Everything feels heavy. Everything feels dark. Everything feels impossible, and you just feel overwhelmed. I'm going to give you a little operation you can perform that says gratitude overwhelms overwhelm. If you're overwhelmed, you can overwhelm overwhelm with learning gratitude. And that sounds really weird, but I'm going to just give you a few random, kind of randomly connected thoughts that were focused and brought right into the forefront of my mind by something that Ann Voskamp wrote in her weekly newsletter, or her daily newsletter, actually. And just kind of brought me back to this concept of what I've been kind of trying to put together all week and what was really a tough week. But it's going to help you overwhelm, overwhelm by learning to switch from overwhelm to gratitude. But before you can do any of that, you got to answer one question.
Hey, are you ready to change your life? If the answer is yes, there's only one rule. You have to change your mind first. And my friend, there's a place where the neuroscience of how your mind works smashes together with faith and everything starts to make sense. Are you ready to change your life? Well, this is the place, Self Brain Surgery School. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and this is where we go deep into how we're wired, take control of our thinking, and find real hope. This is where we learn to become healthier, feel better, and be happier. This is where we leave the past behind and transform our minds. This is where we start today. Are you ready? This is your podcast. This is your place. This is your time, my friend. Let's get after it.
All right, my friend, let's get after it. Hey, told you it was kind of a tough week. We had some family illness and we were going to have a funeral to attend next week. We lost somebody we love, and just it was one of those weeks where Lisa was away, Tata was away, and I was here working, and it was just kind of a tough week for everybody. And there was also a lot going on. We have a lot of things going on in our personal life. There's some uncertainty about a few things, and we've been praying that God will give us some clarity and some direction, and I'm trying to write a new book, and there's just all this stuff swirling around. So there was a day when it was a kind of a difficult day in the hospital for a couple of reasons. Had some sad things going on over there. And there was a day when I got home from work last week when I was just kind of overwhelmed, a little bit grumpy. I wasn't practicing what I preached to you all the time. I was allowing some anxiety and some stress to kind of bug me, and I really wasn't in a great mental space. And Lisa and I were on the phone, and I looked out the window and I saw that my favorite time of day out here on the river is just towards the evening when the sun starts to set. The grass on the riverbank turns this incredible gold color. We call it the golden hour, but in the wintertime, it only lasts about 5 minutes. But then as the spring becomes the summer, it lasts longer and longer. We get this incredible, like vibrant contrast between the blue water of the river and the green grass, and then this gold river grass. And it's just this incredible beauty. And that particular day was cloudy, and there was some storms happening and some rain. And right when Lisa said, hey, go outside and send me a picture of the riverbank and let's get you in a better space. Let's talk about what's going on. And right when I saw that, the golden river grass, I opened the door and stepped out into the backyard, and there was a rainbow on the riverbank. And there was this incredible rainbow, and the clouds and the beauty was all there. And then the next morning I went outside around sunrise, and there was a family, there's a breeding pair of Canadian geese that stay here year round, and they were swimming around right next to our house in the river with their three little goslings. And then I looked downstream, and for the first time ever in my whole life, I saw an owl, a great horned owl, standing in the sandbar in the middle of the river channel. I've never seen an owl in the river before. I saw deer eating out of our bird feeder. I saw earlier in the week, the very last day the cranes were here, I saw a bunch of the cranes doing their dance, and saw the family of pheasant walking across the hayfield later that evening and with their babies, and just all this beauty that God was just showing me over and over and over. It's like, hey, take a second and look around and notice that the things you're feeling and the things that your family are dealing with are not the only things. Like this quantum physics world is just reminding me that there are multiple things happening at the same time. You can be a bereaved parent. Your husband can have a glioblastoma. You can find that your mother committed suicide, as one of our readers just said. You can have your terrible, massive things, but you can also notice that there's a rainbow. And I remember the day we were on our way home from the funeral home after Mitch's service, from the church after Mitch's service, there was a double rainbow over the highway. God seems to show up and show us things at the time when we're hurting. He tends to kind of remind us that he's still there. And that reminded me as I was kind of trying to process how to sort of focus and reframe my mind and to remember that gratitude overwhelms overwhelm. I remembered that Abraham Lincoln wrote an incredible piece in the middle. Well, let me read you the piece first, and then I'll tell you when he wrote it. He said this. It's just kind of remarkable that he was able to write this and say this. And there was a day a while back when I got in the mail, my sister mailed me a bunch of old pictures. And one of them was a picture of Mitch when he was a little boy, was with his sisters and a bunch of cousins around. And everybody was laughing and smiling in the picture. But Mitch was standing in the background and he looked really sad. He had a sad look on his face. I don't know what had happened, but everybody else in the picture looked happy and he looked sad. And that picture just kind of caught me off guard and kind of broke me open. And on the very same day, we got a text message with a picture from our daughter-in-law, Amber, of the ultrasound of Riker, our grandson, who's now three, that he was in her at the time. And she sent this picture of the ultrasound. It was the first time we'd seen what little Riker was going to look like. And so on the same day, I saw this picture of Mitch looking sad, and it took me right back to losing him and the pain and the anguish and the grief. And at the same day, Amber sends us this new life that's budding and growing and brewing inside of her. And we saw little Riker's form. It was fearfully and wonderfully made, and all that kind of swirled together. And then I remembered this 1863, Abraham Lincoln said this. Here's something he wrote. And he said, "This year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies to these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of mighty, almighty God." Do you get that? He was saying the year is full of all kinds of stuff, but it's also full of fruitful fields and healthful skies and incredible bounties. And we have so much to enjoy that we forget where the joy came from. We forget where it comes from. And he wrote that, my friend, in the middle of the Civil War. And he was the guy in charge. He was the one having to make the tough decisions to take the country to war, to try to fight for the freedom of all Americans. And in the middle of that difficult time, he was able to remember that the secret to overwhelming overwhelm is gratitude. And so this week, God, it felt like God was just showing me over and over, hey, look at that rainbow. Look at those baby pheasants. Look at those geese. Look at that owl standing in the river. Look at those deer eating out of your bird feeder. And remember, don't be overwhelmed. This stuff's going to work out. I've got a plan for you. I have a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. The uncertainty and lack of clarity that you're feeling right now is me working in the background. And the pain of the people that are sick is that I'm going to take care of them. Okay? I'm going to take care of them. I have a plan for you too, for them too. And even if it's drawing near to the end of their life, I've got them. But don't worry. And even if you're sad that your relative's dealing with losing a parent and he's struggling, they're struggling, and you're praying for them, and even when you're sad, don't forget, I've got them too. God says, hey, the secret to being overwhelmed is gratitude. I'm always telling you that, but I needed to practice it too. And then this morning, in the middle of all this, Lisa's home. I'm so grateful. I had two incredible podcast episodes. Interviews yesterday, J. Warner Wallace about his upcoming new book, and Tara Lee Cobble, the Bible Recap Lady, had two just incredible conversations, and getting my head kind of wrapped around the fact that I need to shift my perspective away from, remember, from the neuroscience, what you pay attention to and the way in which you pay attention to it makes it bigger, makes it more true. And so if I'm focusing on my overwhelm, I'm focusing on the things that I'm stressed out about, I'm focusing on the thing I feel unable to help with because I'm here and the people that are hurting are there and I'm stressed and worried. That the thing about attention is the more attention you pay to something in a particular way, the more real it becomes. And this morning, I got up and I read Ann Voskamp's daily email. It was actually from yesterday, but I didn't read it yesterday. I just read it this morning. And she talked about the password the password that she and her husband have when they feel stuck in the dark, when they feel like everything's overwhelming, they feel in tremendous pain or difficulty or overwhelm or whatever, they have a password. One of them will remind the other one. That's what community is for, by the way. That's what family is for. That's what marriage is for, to help each other through these hard times. And her word is Eucharistio, which is the Greek word for giving thanks. Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. That's Eucharistio. That's why the Catholics call it the Eucharist. The high church people call it the Eucharist when you take the Lord's Supper, because it's reminding you to be grateful in the midst of the fact that the body is being broken and the blood's being shed and life is hard. Be grateful. Don't forget to be grateful. Ann Boskamp, in her newsletter, it's this incredible newsletter about gratitude. Like right when I needed it, it came exactly what I needed to be thinking about. Have a password when you're stuck, when you remember, okay, I'm not overwhelmed. I need to be grateful, because my hippocampus is going to either push me towards rational thought in my frontal lobe and help me work through this with God's help to sort of figure out a good strategy to deal with it, or I'm going to flip down towards amygdala and I'm going to fall right into that physiological thing, fight, flight, freeze, and I'm going to give in to fear and I'm going to become more and more anxious, and the thing I'm focusing on is going to become more real, because what you focus on is what you're being formed into, my friend. So focus on gratitude. You'll be formed into this person who can be resilient, who can handle things, who can stop in the midst of the pain and notice the rainbow. Because the rainbow is always there, okay? The baby geese are always swimming by. We just usually are so wrapped up in our overwhelm that we don't notice that God is screaming out in the midst of this civil war, in the midst of this hardship, in the midst of this difficulty. Don't forget you have all these blessings and your heart's still beating, and there's opportunity for you to use your brain in a way that will help you and hurt you in this, because gratitude overwhelms overwhelm. Ann Boskamp said it just beautifully. The neuroscience, the faith smashes together and perfectly in her newsletter today, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. You should read it. She says, I find it interesting. One of her sons sent her a message that said, I find it interesting that in the face of real trauma, instead of holding on to bitterness or refusing to forgive, you've chosen gratitude and trying to live open-handed. Because here's the thing, my friend, your soul is a compass and you get to choose the direction that you're going to go. You get to choose. So out of a life of choices, choose gratitude. Have a password to tell yourself, to tell your spouse, to tell your children when they seem like they're slipping into it. Have a password. Hey, when I say this word, you snap out of it. When I say Eucharistio or whatever your word is, that's going to remind you to notice the rainbow. Notice the goslings swimming by. Notice the owl in the river. What if I had not looked out the window? What Lisa hadn't encouraged me to? Well, step outside. Just ground yourself for a minute. Take a minute. Take a breath. Look around. Let this river speak to you of your Creator's love and compassion and ongoing plan for you. That's it, my friend. You have to remember that what you focus on, you're being formed into. And gratitude overwhelms overwhelm. And the good news is, we're going to live this life. God's going to redeem all this. The rescue's underway. As I told the paid subscribers last week, we're going to live in a new heaven and a new earth with new bodies, and all this stuff's going to pass away, and we're going to be grateful every day for eternity. So practicing gratitude now, Ann Boskamp said, to practice gratitude is to learn now what you will do forever. So practice the song you're going to be singing for all eternity, my friend. What you choose to tune into tunes your heart to sing his praises or to murmur your disdain. So you get to choose. She says, heaven and hell are not far off realities. They surround us here and now. So you get to choose what you focus on, because the neuroscience says it clear. What you focus on, what you pay attention to, is going to be what you're stuck in, what you're formed into. Jesus said in Matthew 26:52, for all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. And it's just as true as Anne said. If you take up bitterness, if you take up anxiety, if you take up depression, if you take up rumination, guess what's going to happen to your heart? Guess what's going to form your character? It's going to form in what you're focusing on, okay? But if you take up gratitude, if you take up blessing, because blessing beats bitter, better beats bitter, better beats blame, better beats all of that. And it happens by blessing, by gratitude, by thankfulness, by deciding to notice that there's an owl standing even in the midst of your hard day. Don't forget, Nietzsche said, beware that when fighting monsters, you yourself do not become a monster, for when you gaze long into the abyss gazes also into you. I talked about that in Hope is the First Dose. But the more you look into that pit of despair, the more you're drawn into it. The more you sit at the foot of the thing that's hurting you, the more it will be, you'll be chained to it, tethered to it, and it will become an idol. It will become bigger and bigger and bigger and until you can't look at anything else, and will burn its image into your retina, and that's all you can think about. And you'll become that person that's stuck in that place. But it doesn't have to be that way, because what you focus on is what you're being formed into. And if you realize that there's still a rainbow out there, the river's still flowing by, that the deer are still eating out of your bird feeder, that the owl is out there somewhere, that there are many things, you're going to see that picture that breaks your heart, and you're going to get another picture that reminds you that new life is being formed. And my friend, you can change your mind. And if you do, it'll change your life. And the good news here on Self Brain Surgery Saturday is that you can change your mind and change your life, and you can start today.
Hey, thanks for listening. The Dr. Lee Warren Podcast is brought to you by my brand new book, Hope is the First Dose. It's a treatment plan for recovering from trauma, tragedy, and other massive things. It's available everywhere books are sold, and I narrated the audiobooks. Hey, the theme music for the show is Get Up by my friend Tommy Walker, available for free at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. They are supplying worship resources for worshipers all over the world to worship the Most High God. And if you're interested in learning more, check out TommyWalkerMinistries.org. If you need prayer, go to the prayer wall at WLeeWarrenMD.com/prayer, WLeeWarrenMD.com/prayer, and go to my website and sign up for the newsletter, Self Brain Surgery, every Sunday since 2014, helping people in all 50 states and 60 plus countries around the world. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I'll talk to you soon. Remember, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind. And the good news is you can start today.